How many of you, either as a business owner or you're in a role at a job where you have to be involved in inventory? Anybody? Quite a few of you. I've never had that privilege, but I heard it's a lot of fun. It's a real joy, I hear, to end the year that way. I am a big fan, and whether you call them, you know, New Year's resolutions or whatever, I am a big fan of taking stock at the end of a year and evaluating the year. And when I mean evaluating, I mean the good and the bad and the ugly. And being willing to evaluate what went well this year, what didn't. And in my own life, what are some adjustments that could be made? What are some new goals for the coming year? Whether you kind of, like some people are like, I'm not type A enough to like do it like some people do that. But just generally speaking, I do try to take stock of the year and do set a couple goals, ministry goals and personal goals, those kind of things. And I think that's a healthy thing to do. All that to say, you know, today as we end 2024 is an opportunity for us to just stop and reflect God's faithfulness in our life. And by the way, God's faithfulness, even if you've gone through some real heartache this year, and I definitely don't say that to minimize that. All right, heartache is not easy and it's not fun. But to even say, and yet God is still faithful. Amen?
Amen.
And he's got us through the storms. I mean, today, we have a family today that just shared with me that their son was just killed yesterday or this past week. I mean, this is the nature of living this side of heaven, isn't it? Right, it's not all right rainbows and you know happy thoughts. This side of heaven, there's pain and there's hurt and there's heartache and there's brokenness. There's relational brokenness, right? So that's all part of it. But at the same time, there is one constant throughout Scripture. No matter what your day looks like, there is one thing that is clear and consistent in God's word. Every day is a day to stop and celebrate God.
Amen.
Every day. So because, you know, typically, and maybe I shouldn't admit this as a pastor, but my goal for this coming year is to read through the whole Bible. And, you know, knowing that I'm going to miss a day here or there, I start my plan early. Like, I start a month early, you know, to kind of, like, figure I'm going to miss some days, you know, here or there. So I've started the Bible in a year, and I'm in Job right now, all right? So I'm, like, knee-deep in suffering, okay, right now, from the book anyways. And I've just came across, it's so fitting for today, I just came across that verse, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it, where he says, even if God should slay me, yet, do you know it? Yet I will praise him. I want to tell you what an incredible place to be able to get into your spiritual journey in your life to be able to say that. Not like say it because you're supposed to say it because that's like the Christian thing to say, but truly in your heart of hearts to truly be able to say, even if God slays me this year, I will praise him. I cannot take just the good. I must take, on a human level anyways, the bad. The good and the bad. And so we've been doing this series November, December. And really, I'll be honest, the motivation, we've been in the book of Mark since last Easter. And some of you are like, whatever happened to that? Okay. So we're halfway through Mark. I promise you, we are going to get, well, I don't promise you, but the plan is to get back to the second half of Mark in February, so we are going to get back to Mark, okay? But there's a couple things that we've wanted to do in between. I'll be honest, we started this series because it was right before the election and threats of war and people were stressing about who would be president on either side of the aisle, whoever you wanted to be president. And I said, you know what? It'd be good for us to take a couple months and to like lift our gaze above all this and take a couple months to just celebrate God together. And so I hope that that's been encouraging to you. I hope the book that we provided as well. By the way, we're like 6 copies left of those if anyone still wants one. We're running a special, only $100. All right, end of the year. Check me out to Tony Tice. No, just kidding. You can take it and enjoy it. And that's been our goal, is just to celebrate God in various ways in the Psalms. And so we're ending our journey in Psalm 150. So if you have a Bible this morning, turn to Psalm 150. This morning, I did have the verses up on the screen for you. I don't now. So, your Bible, or you can go to our church app as well, and they have the notes in there if you want to follow along there. But we're going to end, really, and this is the end of a series, end of a year, and the end of the book of Psalms. And our whole theme in this series has been Psalm 118, verse 24. Many of you might know this. It's a very popular, one of the more popular verses in Psalms. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The it is very important. What is it? Today is the it. Right? There are things that probably all of us aren't sure how something's going to turn out. Right? We can't control that. And I can tell you what won't help, according to Jesus in Matthew 6, worry won't help that turn out any better. Probably make it worse. All we can really control is what we will do today. Will I choose to praise God, or as I like to put it, will I choose to celebrate God today? And as we end the year together, you really could say it this way. This is the year that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We want to rejoice. And I'm going to just give you a heads up, all right? If I leave some time at the end, I want to actually open it up for some of you to be able to share something in 2024 that you want to celebrate God for, something you'd like to celebrate God for. Okay, I'm going to tell you something, and you're not going to believe me, but I'll say it anyway. My goal is to keep it short and sweet this morning. Okay, that's the goal. All right, because I do want to try to leave some time for us to just corporately yay God together. Sound good? So be thinking about if there's something that you'd like to testify at the end of a way that you want to celebrate God. Okay, so let's go ahead and just read the whole thing, and then I want to answer just 4 questions, and then we'll share some testimonies, okay? Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. All right, now you, if you've got it in the ESV version, your turn, verse 2.
Praise him according to his mighty peace, praise him according to his excellent greatness.
All right, ladies, you got verse 3. All right, guys, verse 4.
Praise him with drink and praise him with drink and.
Wow, guys were way better. I mean, women were way better at that. All right, I got verse 5. Praise him with sounding cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals, and all of us, verse 6, let's read it like we mean it this morning. Ready? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
All right, I'm done. Let's pray. And no, I'm kidding. I'm not done. You wish. So here's how I would summarize the psalm. Celebrate God anytime and anywhere because of who he is and what he does. Celebrate God anytime and anywhere because of who he is and what he does. That's, to me, is what the psalmist, which we don't, by the way, we don't know for sure who the psalmist is here, but that's what he's getting at. Every day and every moment is an opportunity to celebrate God. And in every moment, he is worthy to be celebrated in our lives. This is clearly a psalm of celebration. Now, there are different categories of the psalms, but if you want to just kind of in this most general way, break down the psalms into two types. There's laments, and then there are celebration psalms. Lament psalms and celebration psalms. Lament psalms are psalms where they're frustrated, they're confused, they're hurt, they're angry even sometimes. Some of the psalms, I mean, if you read through the psalms, if you've read through the psalms, you'll know sometimes you read it and you're like, oh, did he just say that to God? Right? They're very honest. And I think God's okay with honest frustration. Even frustration with him. I really do. David got frustrated with God. Job got frustrated with God. Moses got frustrated with God. And we could go on and on. And so there are some that their praises are praises of lament out of frustration. And then there's celebrations, right? One where they're celebrating and joyfulness and all of those things. And that's what we have here, of course, in Psalm 150. It wraps it up. It's almost like the psalmist is saying, and in case you didn't get what we're trying to tell you in the first 149 chapters, all right, we are to be a people who celebrate God. You know, it's so interesting when we talk about spiritual disciplines in our lives, the spiritual habits we need for our life, and the ones that obviously come up first, right? Well, we need to read God's word. We need to pray. I mean, I even mentioned those earlier in the announcements. And they're true, right? We need those things in our lives to grow. But sometimes one that's not mentioned as important, and I would say is equally important, is to celebrate God regularly, to worship or praise him. It can go by different terms. Taking time to celebrate God is a crucial and necessary, and I would suggest, as Psalm 118 does, a daily spiritual discipline for our life. Now, Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of the Disciplines, puts it this way. Celebration brings joy into life, and joy makes us strong. Scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We cannot continue long in anything without it. Celebration is central to all the spiritual disciplines. Without a joyful spirit of festivity, the disciplines become dull, death-breathing tools in the hands of modern Pharisees. Every discipline should be characterized by careful gaiety and a sense of thanksgiving. I am inclined to think, now catch this part. I am inclined to think that joy is the motor, the thing that keeps everything else going. Without joyous celebration to infuse the other disciplines, we will sooner or later abandon them. Joy produces energy. Joy makes us strong. I believe that. That's why taking time, whatever term you want to use, worshiping God, praising God, celebrating God, making that a daily habit to take time to do that is so important. It produces joy, and joy is the motor that keeps us moving forward in the other spiritual disciplines as we pursue life as disciples. Does that make sense? So it's of the utmost importance we understand and get this. So let's answer these four questions pretty quickly, okay? Here's the first one that verse 1 answers. Four questions that Psalm 150 answers about celebrating God. Here's the first one. Where to celebrate God? Where should we celebrate God? Well, verse 1 tells us, in his sanctuary and in his mighty heavens, okay? So the psalmist says, where do we celebrate? Well, we celebrate him in the sanctuary. Okay, of course, that was the temple for the nation of Israel back in the time of the Old Testament. For us today, that would be, of course, the body of Christ, the church, which by the way, I think one of the negatives that whole COVID, whatever that was, season, is that it gave people permission to not gather with the body together. And quite a percent in churches never came back. I get asked all the time, are we going to live stream? When are we going to live stream? Are we going to live stream? When are we going to live stream? And honestly, my answer is I have no idea. I don't know if I want to give an out. Honestly. Now, I get it. Like, you're sick. You're on vacation. You know, you're in Cancun and you want to watch the service on the beach. I get it, okay? I've done that on vacation. I get it. Like it's not like evil or bad to want that. But man, I believe so strongly, and I'm going to say it, and it's a strong statement, but I'm going to say it. I believe so strongly that it's a commandment of God that the people gather. To not do so as a believer is sin. And you don't hear me make many strong, like that strong statements, but I really believe that with all of my heart. Because Scripture teaches that. Scripture teaches that. Right? Hebrews chapter 10 says, do not get out of the habit of meeting together, but more and more as the day of God approaches. These books in the New Testament were written to assembly of believers that gathered to get identified with a local church. Okay? If you've been here any length of time, if you're visiting, trust me, they'll tell you. Anyone that's been here, you know, I'm not legalistic. I don't get up here giving you all these do's and don'ts, like these kind of like, oh, if you do this, you're really spiritual. Because some of us came out of environments like that growing up. And we were burned in environments like that. We never felt like we measured up. So I'm really careful in this. But I just got to say, everyone should be connected to the body of Christ, into a local church. And it's okay if it's not ours. I mean, it makes me sad when someone leaves, but it happens. It happens at every church, all right? Like, if you're going to leave, at least leave to another local church that's preaching the gospel and pursuing discipleship, you know? But this is so important that we gather together. Now, having said that, do you have to wait till Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to worship God, to celebrate God? Of course not, right? That's just the corporate gathering that we're commanded to do as a New Testament church. So really, it could be anywhere, you know. And of course, he says the heavens. And that's the whole point of the Psalms to say, in the sanctuary in the heaven. In other words, everywhere. Where do I worship God, celebrate God? Everywhere. Like anywhere, everywhere, right? So my answer to that one, where? Anywhere. I've worshiped God in the shower. Not a visual you need, but I worship him in the shower. You ever get going with the Lord in the shower? You're taking a shower and you start singing to the Lord? Normally I hear kids, shop! You know, someone. If I get going too loud, worshiping. You know, anywhere in the car. You know, some of the most powerful moments with the Lord has been traveling somewhere. Oftentimes alone. I don't always feel worshipful when we had all of us, eight of us. Oftentimes I'm traveling somewhere alone, just putting some worship music or just even in silence, just talking to the Lord. Those have been some of the most powerful moments of worship. What an incredible thing that when God created us, he created us with a soul that can commune with God and is moved to tears, moved to great passion, to talk to sing to, a God that we can't even see. What an incredible thing, isn't it? That when he created us in the image of man, he created us with this soul that is unlike any other creature. Now, every creature can give God glory, but it's humanity that was created with a soul that is able to actually commune back and forth with God. And so anywhere is an opportunity to do that. Why celebrate God? Verse 2, it says, right? Verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds and praise him according to his excellent greatness. His mighty deeds and his excellent greatness. In other words, why celebrate God? For his actions and his attributes, right? His mighty deeds are his actions. The things that he has done that has demonstrated his love for us, his faithfulness to us, and for his greatness. That's his attributes. That's the character of God. And so we don't just give thanks for the things that God is doing for us. We should also stop at different times and just think about the character of God, the person of God, and just stop and give him praise simply for who he is. In fact, I'll throw out a challenge for some of you. Like, what if every month you focused on a different character of God? What if that was a 2024 goal for some of you? In addition to your Bible reading, other things, but you're also going to take an attribute of God, and each month or each week, however you want to do it, and you're going to focus on a specific attribute. You're going to lean into that. You're going to study on that. You're going to sing about that. You're going to dwell on that particular attribute. Or you could take the names of God. It's a great way to do that. All right? Now, there's over 900, so, you know, that's going to take you, like, you know, 3 years if you, you know, wanted to do it every, you know, day. But those are just, again, how intentional, here's my point. Are we intentional about celebrating God? When it says, for his mighty deeds and his excellent greatness, his actions and his attributes, how intentional are we to take time to do that? And so that's my simple practical challenge to you, is what could it look like for you to have a little more intentionality in praising God specifically for his character? Maybe you get a good character study of God book that's part of that journey. And you just lean into the characters of God, his attributes. Okay, let's keep going. How to celebrate God? How do we celebrate God? Oh, man, some of you are going to like this. Some of you, especially our music people. All right, 3 through 5. Praise him, right? What's it say? Trumpet sound with a lute and harp. A lute is like our modern day guitar. A harp, you know what a harp is? My mom plays the harp, by the way. Some of you may not know that. All right, sounds just like that, by the way. All right. Tambourine and dancing. I actually am starting a tambourine ministry, if any of you are interested, 2025. It's kind of the big initiative for 2025. I'm kidding. I'm not really. I'm not. Some of you lit up. I'm sorry if you like tambourines. I'm not starting that. But I have incredible memories growing up. This will make my mom smile. My grandmother, so my grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher. And that's why I confused some people, right? I was Baptist trained, but Pentecostal raised. I am so screwed up. Man, I tell you what. I read the word, but I just want to dance while I'm reading it. You know what I'm saying? Come on. But my grandmother, so this small country church, whosoever willeth. Right? And that's what it's called? Whosoever willeth. Tabernacle. Pentecostals like the word tabernacle. Every Sunday, my grandma, and I don't know how to say it, but my grandma had some big hips. Every Sunday, grandma's got her tambourine. Woo! Just celebrating God with those big hips. I mean, God, right? Use what your mama gave you, right? And, man, I think she broke about 5 tambourines with those hips. But you know what? That was her way, man. That was her way of celebrating God. She would sing, and she would pound those tambourines. Yeah, those were actually some sweet, and she danced a little. That part I'd like to forget. But anyways, praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. And then where's our drummers? Nathan, and Justin. We have any other drummers here? Any other drummers? Like, raise your hand, you're going to be recruited. Any guitarist? Any vocalist? No. All right, you're going to like this one. All right, our drummers, you ready for this one? Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. What do you think about that, Justin? Justin, can you come up here for a second? Come on up here. Come on up here. Yeah, man. Come on. Come on. Don't you know the rule? Never look at the pastor eye to eye. He will call you for something. So when I ask people to pray, every eye goes down or up or over or around. I'm like trying to find eye contact with someone. No, you looked at me. You're praying. All right. Do you think you could do a loud clashing little symbol demonstration for us, for the Lord?
I sure
do. Do not throw the sticks into the crowd. That's not good.
All right.
Let's hear it. We weren't planning on this, so this should be interesting. But But I know he's good, so I think we're good. Yeah, yeah, really. Why not? Come on. It's for God. Let's go. It says loud clashing cymbals. Come on. Do you want to obey the word of God or not? That's good. Thank you. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How many wish they could do drums like that? So cool. All right. Thank you. All right. That's good stuff. So obviously in these particular verses, the psalmist is focusing on music, obviously, which is an incredible gift, by the way. We all understand God created music, right? When he created the world, he didn't have to do that, but he created this thing called music, art. And it's ultimately for his glory and an opportunity, a means to worship him. And can we just stop for a minute and just say, I'm so thankful for everyone that volunteers. But, you know, as a younger church that's you know, less than 3 years old, and we're, you know, obviously building a budget and also trying to save for our own place. You know, we're leasing this, but saving for our own place, while at the same time trying to staff accordingly. What that means is we have a lot of people that are volunteer putting in lots of time to make things work. And it's easy to take that for granted. And so first of all, I just want to stop and thank all of our volunteers in 2024 for everything that you've done. This ministry really, truly rises or falls on our volunteers, because we don't have, you know, 15 staff members. It doesn't work that way as a new church. And so just for a moment, and I know it, I mean, I guess we're celebrating God through those. Can we just take a moment and thank all of our volunteers for everything that they've done? And just our worship team, every single week, there are some ministries where you just get to show up, and many of our ministries just show up once a month, which, by the way, just let me just pause, ADD moment, because I forgot to mention it earlier. We had a couple individuals that needed to step down, that had to step down from our Kids Rock ministry. Nothing bad, they're still involved in the church, they just, some circumstances in life, they just needed to step down. We really, really, really need some people to step up. It's typically a once-a-month commitment, but if we get enough workers, and it's every other month. So if you could help in our children's ministry, I know that would be a huge encouragement to Megan, our Kids Rock director. And so you'll notice in the back corner, and there's a lot of ways to serve, but in the back corner, if there's any way you could prayerfully consider that and let us know. We have some very real needs in our kids' ministry. We want to be able to continue to provide that ministry, obviously. We have 50 kids in our ministry, and that requires, you know, quite a few people. So anyways, that's a side note. What I was going to say in all of this is I'm thankful that our worship team, week in, week out, not only on Sunday, they come early on Sunday to practice, they come during the week to practice. And aren't you thankful? All volunteers, not anyone gets paid on our worship team. And aren't you thankful that they come every week to lead us in worship? Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Amen. Because otherwise, I'd be leading worship. And it'd be me and my family left, you know, after like a week. So thankful that I don't have to lead worship and preach. So I'm thankful for them. Okay. Where to celebrate God? Why celebrate God? How to celebrate God? Of course, music is there, but let me expand that and simply say this. All kinds of ways. All kinds of ways. You don't have to love singing to worship God, though I do think everyone should sing unto the Lord. And I know for some guys, like, that's a learned practice. But Athanasius, I think his name was, in the fourth century said this about the Psalms and like praising God through songs. Because that's what Psalms are, right? They're songs. They're songs set to, they're prayers set to music. He said, nearly every other book of the Bible speaks to us. The Psalms speak for us. Right? You ever read a psalm or sing a song, which are really psalms, right? Spiritual truth set to music. And it just allows you to communicate to God in ways that you personally couldn't have articulated it nearly as beautifully and as powerfully. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Right? Like I've written a couple songs. I don't know if they're any good. That's really hard. That takes every ounce of energy to try to write a song. Every creative energy to try to write a song to articulate to God. And Psalms have this way. And so I guess it's my challenge for the guys. And I know we may have some women that don't like to sing. There's nothing more I don't say that. One of the most powerful things in a church is when I see men passionately worshiping God out loud.
Yes.
It moves the family. And it moves others, other young men. Talk to our adult men. These young guys are looking at you more than you think as a model for direction, right? And they see you engaging with God in worship. And yes, I'm talking specifically song right now. And learning to enjoy that. All right? For some of you, it's a learned activity, but learning to do that, I'm telling you, that has a huge impact on the spiritual temperature in the body of Christ. So I'm praying that in 2025, that more of our men, it doesn't mean you don't love Jesus if you don't, like, yeah, that's cool, still not doing it, you know, still don't like to be heard. Like, I get all that. But just to free yourself in 2025, and just say, I'm going to come with the body of Christ and I'm going to just pour out to God in song. I really think it will increase the spiritual temperature in this place when our men passionately lead out in worship. All right. There you go. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So we can worship all kinds of ways. Music is one of them. When you work, that's an act of worship. That's a way to celebrate God. When you're thankful for your job, right? When you do it in a way that's showing gratitude, that's celebrating God. There's lots of ways to celebrate God. Last one. I'm going to leave us some time here. Who should celebrate God? Well, it's pretty clear in verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, right? So who should celebrate God? Anyone, right? Everyone, anyone, anything, anyone. The Bible even says the rocks cry out in worship, right? The monkey, the mountains, the stars, the sky. Everything should cry out in worship. How great is our God? May 2025 be a year where we celebrate our God this coming year with great passion, great pursuit as a church. And as I wrap it up, I want to share just one last passage of scripture to leave with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice this. Do not quench the Spirit. I used to think each verse was its own separate truth, but now I've come to believe they're all connected to each other on purpose. There's intentionality there. Rejoice always. Well, how can I rejoice always? By praying without ceasing and giving thanks in all circumstances. Which, by the way, is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Because if you don't, you'll quench the Holy Spirit. What if, for some, 2024 is like, I don't know what it was about 2024. I feel like I was doing the right things. I was going to church. I was trying to read my Bible. And, you know, I was trying to say no to sin. But it just felt like, I don't know. I didn't feel like the joy of the Lord in 2024. What if there wasn't intentionality to daily take time to celebrate God? Rejoicing and giving thanks daily. And in doing so, as Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 5, it quenched the Holy Spirit in your life. It made that Pentecost power fire, the Holy Spirit, that picture we see in Acts 2. What if it quenched that? It was water put onto that. Each day that we didn't take time to celebrate him, it was just a little bit more water we poured on the Holy Spirit fire. And that we limp into the end of this year, like, why don't I have that joy? Maybe we quench the Spirit a little bit in our life because we didn't daily take time. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will, what? Rejoice and be glad in it. What if we made that our goal here at Church on the Rock? Every day, rain or shine, mountaintop or valley, every day, I'm going to take a moment in song, in a poem, in a prayer, whatever it looks like for you, in a drawing, in a drum number, whatever it looked like. Every day, 365 days, I will take time to celebrate my God.